It really has not been that long ago, but it's been long ago enough that this young man was a kid. So it's been a while. It's been a while. And it is good to heart to look out to see a full congregation, and I pray that each of you have come together this morning to hear the Word of God, because that is what I have sought. That's what I've sought. I'd like to begin by inviting you to turn in your Book of Mormons to the second book of Nephi, chapter 13. And I want to read just a few verses. We read them time and time again, and it is for a reason. Page 163. And in this reading here, the words are meant for those that have an understanding of faith, what faith is. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And each of you have a understanding of that word, faith, what it means to you personally, between you and God. They also had an understanding of the need for repentance in their lives, to know that repentance was necessary, that they might turn from the old way, the old man, towards that which God intended for them. And that's what brings you together this day also. And you have an understanding of that. They also had an understanding of the necessity of baptisms. Baptisms. Being immersed in the water to lay down that old self, that old way. But before even that, entering into a covenant with their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. More than a promise, a covenant with Christ to follow Him and His example. But I said baptisms, more than just immersion, the laying on of hands to receive that gift of the Holy Ghost, that they might have that Spirit of Christ with them at all times to lead and guide. And I pray each of you seek that. They also had an understanding of the purpose, the ordinance of the laying on of hands, which we witness this day in part, for the healing of the sick, for the blessing of little children that are not guilty of sin, but yet we hold them up to our Father for His help, His protection, and His guidance. For the ordination of men called into the priesthood of God, that they might be sanctified and set aside as servants of God. Healing, blessing, ordination, and receiving the Holy Ghost, part of the baptism. They also had an understanding of resurrection and eternal judgment. That our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, paid a price for each of us. That we might gain entrance back into the presence of God. He set the example. He has shown the way. And He is the one that we are to follow. Because there will be an eternal judgment, which they also understood, which we have an understanding of. And in this reading that we find on page 163, starting with verse 29, it says, "Wherefore, ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ." Now, they had an understanding of who Christ was, what He meant to them, and so do we also. But we earn our living in the world. And we must be steadfast in Christ. We go out to our schools each and every day. Well, 5 days a week. And we have to be steadfast in what we know of Christ. Because they teach not Christ. They teach for an understanding, a learning of man. And that's good. But we want to be steadfast in Christ. "Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and love of God and of all men." And it's necessary, it is helpful, if we have that perfect brightness of hope within us at all times. Because we're striving to be not where we are today or where we were yesterday, but tomorrow. That's what we strive for. perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men, the first and second commandments of God. Wherefore you must press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ. Now today is dinner Sunday, and I'll try not to keep you too long, because we require a physical substance to exist. But this tells us that we must feast upon the word of God to live and to grow spiritually. Feasting upon the Word of God, not just one day of the week, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, but each and every day of our life we are to feast upon the Word of God to gain strength to grow spiritually, to come closer to Christ that we might come back in to the presence of the Almighty Father. And it says, and to endure to the end. Behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. With this understanding of the principles of the gospel, which I touched upon at the very beginning, as found in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verse 1. The principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then it says that we are to be steadfast, that we are to have a perfect brightness of hope, that we are to have a love of God and of all men, that we are to feast upon the Word of God and endure to the end, towards a goal, eternal life. But we have to endure. We have to endure. Now, at this time of year, a great many of you have probably made New Year's resolutions. And the world does that too. And it's a good practice. To take stock of yourself, where you want to go with this next life, and to make a resolution, a promise. But you that have entered in by the right way have made more than a promise with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those of you that seek to draw closer to Christ, to know Christ for who He is, also must needs make a covenant with Christ. More than a New Year's resolution. And I would ask each of you that have made that promise, that have an understanding of what it is, have you kept it? Have you kept it from that time that you entered in by the right way until today? And you look beyond towards eternal life. Have you kept it? It says that we are to endure. To endure. And I looked up the definition of the word endure, and it means to put up with. To put up with. Things happen in the world. Things happen in your day-to-day life, in your spiritual growth also. And you have to put up with those frustrations, those shortcomings, the times you stumble. You have to do more than put up, you have to bear. You have to bear. Even as Christ bore our burdens for us. We are to bear each other's burdens as a member of the body of Christ. We are to bear the responsibilities, the duties, and the hope that we have, and endure to the end. Endure also means to stand. To stand up and to give witness of Jesus Christ. To stand up for what is right. Not what you think the world wants to hear, not what you think your neighbor might be pleased with, but to stand up for what is right and to continue. The word also means, endure means to continue in the right way, the path that you have entered into, to endure to eternal life, the goal. Watching TV the other day, and they were talking about a movie that they're coming out with, a cartoon version of Moses. I have made up my mind whether I want to see it or not. I may. But they were talking about one of the lines within, I guess, the theme song. It said that miracles can be ours if you will only believe. Is that a true statement? Miracles can be ours if you will only believe. Well, some of the religious leaders that they asked to review that and look at it had a problem with it. And they changed the line. I'm not sure what they changed it to, but they said miracles are only possible because God works them. And in part they're right. In part they're right. Miracles are possible with God, but there is a work on your part also. A work on my part. It is God that works miracles. Let's turn in the Book of Mormon to Moroni, the 7th chapter. And from time to time, we look at our lives as a body of Christ and members individually. And I've heard a great many of you ask, where are the miracles today? Where are the gifts of the Spirit? Why aren't they here? Starting with the latter part of verse 37. The very last phrase. Hath the day of miracles ceased? Or hath angels ceased to appear unto the children of men? Or hath he withheld the power of the Holy Ghost from them? You know, those are sobering questions. Has the power of the Holy Ghost been withheld? Do angels no longer minister to the children of men? Have miracles ceased? They have not. They have not. We have them not in the numbers that we desire. And that's what I want to look at today. Why not? Why don't we have them? Why are we not quick to recount them? More than just on our one hand or both hands and using our toes, why can't we number them? Because God has not changed. Verse 40 says, or will he so long as time shall last, or the earth shall stand, or there shall be one man upon the face thereof to be saved. Well, the earth is troubled. The earth is starting to unravel. Men are going their own way. But the earth still stands. And there are yet men and women and children of the age of accountability yet to be saved. And these promises can be ours. We look back and we wonder about the miracles and why they are not here and where they are. Each of you that know me know that I'm a mechanic. I make my living working on cars. I won't say I'm the best mechanic, but I make a living at it. And each of you know that we have went through a period of cold weather. Cold, that's good for my business. It is hard to start a car in cold weather. It's hard to start, but it's possible. If you have taken your car and had simple maintenance performed on it, simple preventative maintenance. Either you do it yourself or you pay somebody to do it for you. And your car will start. Maybe hard, but it will start. If you choose not to, and those are the people I see, when they bring their car into me, I see not only, first and foremost, they want the symptom repaired. What's happened to their car at that particular time? But something caused that symptom. There is a cause. And unless you repair the cause, you're going to end up with a recurring symptom, a recurring problem. You know, I think you and I know I'll speak for myself, I'm like that, spiritually and physically. Sometimes I treat only the symptom instead of looking for the cause. Looking for the cause that brings about a problem. A problem in my spiritual life, my physical life, my temporal life, my mental well-being. You need to look for the cause. As a body of Christ and members in particular, and those that we have as visitors this day, you need to look for the cause to be able to treat the symptom, to be cured. Because, brothers and sisters, there are many sick within the Church of Christ. We had two administrations this morning, and I was one of them. We have a long list, a prayer list, at all our locals. Those that we hold up in prayers, many are sick physically, but we're sick spiritually also. And we need to look for the cause of that. Sin separates us from God. Causes a separation. God does not move, but God cannot tolerate sin. without God there to look up to our well-being, we're exposed to a great many things that we find in the world. We've been exposed since Adam and Eve. If we turn to Genesis, the third chapter, if you'll turn in your Bibles, almost way back to the very beginning. Genesis, the third chapter, and reading verses 15 through 19. This is after they have partaken of the tree of knowledge. After they had partaken of the tree of knowledge, and you all know what that meant. It was a commandment of God not to partake. And there was a sentence attached to that, which you know. And God found out. And in verse 15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." The animal kingdom in the beginning, and also all the plants and herbs that ever were, did not harm man. They were there for his well-being in every way, every purpose. Verse 16, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." The Lord God said that to woman. You know, that hasn't changed one bit. Each and every one of you that are mothers know what it is to bring life into the world. And those that, for whatever reason, are not able to bear children know what a special thing that is to have children. You've been exposed to sorrow by not having. But those that have brought children into the world have been exposed also to sorrow. Sorrow of childbearing, of bringing life into the world, of nurturing that life, and the way the world is going, having life turned back on you. And not in a good way. To man, and unto Adam, he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life." Well, I don't make my living with the ground. And most of you do not either. Our economy is, we're that far removed from what it was in the beginning. But we still ultimately depend on what comes out of the ground. And what feeds upon that fruit out of the ground. For our physical strength, we depend upon it. And the Lord said, it's cursed. You're going to have problems with it. "Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." It hasn't changed one little bit since the very beginning. And because of this original sin, each of you and myself have been exposed to the things of the earth that the Lord did not intend in the very beginning that we should suffer from. Each of you suffer physically, mentally, temporally, and spiritually. But that's still not what the Lord intends. The Lord would walk close to us each step of the way. The Lord would be by our side. The Lord would hear our pleas, our calls, our prayers, and answer. The Lord would. Now, I'm not going to say that every bad thing that happens to you is a result of sin. The original sin, yes, but not the immediate effects of sin in your life. Although, sin separates you to a greater degree from God. And to that degree that you are separated by your own choice, you suffer a curse also. And I suffer a curse also. Each of us. To endure to the end, to receive salvation. We need to seek to draw closer to God. To endure all pain, all sickness, temptations, all disappointments, all heartbreak, all misery, all injury. We need to endure to the end. And if it is God's will that we suffer these things, and if we have not separated ourselves from God because of sin, and if it is God's will that we continue, then we need to have peace in our heart. And there will be spiritual growth. Because we build this day, not necessarily for this day only, but for tomorrow. Towards that eternal judgment. Towards that resurrection. We build towards that. Turn in your Bibles to James, the fifth chapter. James, the fifth chapter. And we'll read a great many, we'll read a few verses that the restoration claims. And we have a special claim upon them because we believe in the ordinance of laying on of hands for the healing of sick. And in the 14th verse it says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Now think about the way that's laid out in the scripture there. If you have a need, and that can be a physical need. I had a physical need this morning. And I allowed or called for the elders of the church to lay hands upon. Now, if I am healed of that physical ailment, according to the progression of that verse, if I'm guilty of sin, I am forgiven. I've been suffering with this back for several days. And I've put off calling for the elders. And why? Because I looked at the last phrase, "And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." I want the Lord to draw close to me before I ask for a physical blessing, because it is in my power to look at sin in my life and remove it. Until I have the confidence that that sin has been forgiven, am I as close to the Lord as I would desire for that physical healing? I want you to think about that. I'm not saying put off calling for the elders indefinitely till you have that good feeling. But I am saying be as close to God as you can each step of the way. Each step of your life, because we are to endure. And when we call for the elders of the church, do you want sin within you that is unrepentant? I don't. I don't want that weight upon me. Now, if time will not allow, yes, call for the elders. Yes, have them lay hands on. But look carefully at what it says. Rid yourself of sin as it is there before you. Don't wait till you're sick and then take stock of your life and say, "Am I worthy?" Keep yourself worthy each step of the way. Verse 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another." And I like that. Pray one for another. Because there is strength within this body of Christ. Not of myself or yourself, but because we gather together in the name of Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior. And when we come together, if I am weak, if I am a weak member, I slow you down. I hold you back. And I confess I've done that. And as you look at your lives, there are times that you not only hold yourself back, but maybe the body of Christ. Confess your faults one to another. You don't have to give details. Just a weakness. Just a willingness to have others pray for you, to be held up to the Lord God, that you be strengthened. confess your faults one to another, and pray one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, when you were baptized, laid into the water, you lay the old way down, and you come out and you receive the Holy Ghost through the laying on of hands, you are made pure. You have made a choice and a covenant with Jesus Christ. You have made a right choice. Therefore, at that point, you are righteous. But what happens? We talked about that in Sunday school class. The choice is still yours and it's still mine. The Lord God guarantees that choice. What you choose makes a difference the rest of your life. I've had a cold for probably a month and a half now. Had I chose to get full rest, eat right, take some simple medication in the very beginning, I wouldn't have suffered this long with this cold. Spiritually, we're the same way. The longer we put off choice to make a right choice, it's that much tougher to come back. It's that much tougher to walk close with God. And that's where I want to be, and I know that's where you want to be. To walk close with God. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I think I've got about enough for two sermons here. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Verse 27, and it says, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. Verse 20 says, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. And listen to this. Be ye angry. Is that telling you to be angry? No. That's telling you that there will come times that you will be angry. You're going to be mad. There are going to be times that you're going to be envious, that you're going to be exposed to jealousy. All kinds of sins. And anger is one of them. And it says, be ye angry and sin not. Well, you're already angry, but it's saying, don't compound the sin. Don't add to it. It's saying, before that sun goes down upon your wrath, don't give place to the devil. Don't allow him that inroad within your life. Without turning to it, in the Book of Mormon it says, yea, and he leadeth them. It's not Christ that it's talking about, it's Satan. He leadeth them by the neck with a flaxen cord until he bindeth them with his strong cords forever. You know, I'm fairly strong. Well, I was before my back started bothering me. And a flaxen cord, I might be able to break that. I might be able to really grit my teeth and break that. I might be able to partake of this sin and yet be able to break that. And that's what Satan uses. He's subtle. It's not going to hurt much. It's not going to lead you ultimately down the wrong way. You still got time to endure. But it's pointing out that that flaxen cord we are to beware of. Because in time, Satan binds us with a cart rope. I don't know how big a cart rope is, but that's for pulling enormous weight. And that's what sin is. It is weight that slows you down, weighs you down. It is sin that drags you down. That was 2 Nephi 11:94. Also in the Book of Mormon, it says, there are times we draw iniquity. We draw iniquity with cords of vanity. Now to me, the difference between sin and iniquity is that I have a knowledge that it is sin. I have a knowledge that I answer for that. I have a knowledge that there will come a time that justice will be served, and yet I pull it along. And it says why? Because of vanity. Because of the pride that is in my life. We draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin with a cart rope. Again, that strong cord. Again, something that we will not give up with a cart rope. You can't break a cart rope, but Christ can. Jesus Christ can break every rope, every chain, as long as there is that glimmer of hope. As long as the earth still stands, as long as there is one man yet to be saved, Christ is there. Turn to Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, verse 15. Well, turn to Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. I'll read another reading out of that. While you're turning to Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, one of the verses in that chapter says, where is the word of the Lord? Where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. Do you hear that in the world? Where's the judgment of God? Let me see it. Where's the sign? I want to behold it. Show me His power. That's not what you're called to do, because you are not of the world. You seek not to be not of the world. We believe in faith. In the 17th chapter of Jeremiah, verses 5 through 8 says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. What I say to you this day, do not put your trust in it, unless you recognize it to be the Word of God. Take your scriptures home. Seek out truth. Get down on your knees and pray about the Word of God that you might greater understand it. Don't trust in me. Don't trust in any man or woman. For the Lord says, cursed is that arm of flesh. For he shall be like the heath in the desert. What's a heath? It's a dwarf juniper. You've been out in the desert. Not much grows there. Sometimes a little shrub. And you wonder how it can live in that parched land. Out in the world, there are people that you wonder how they go. Cometh. Out in a parched land, you're going to be so caught up. Out in the world, you'll be so caught up in day-to-day existence, you won't even notice when good comes your way. You won't recognize it. You won't have time for it. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabit it. But the Lord says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Whose hope the Lord is. What does it say about in Hebrews where it talks about faith and it talks about Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Moses? All those that had that hope sought what? Not what they left behind in the old country. The country that they come out of, they might have had a good life, but they gave it up. They gave it up because they had a hope on the other side, and they sought a city that the Lord would establish, the Lord would raise up, the Lord would bless. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. Now think about what that, we have a heath, a stunted little growth of a thing out in the parched desert, and that's what the world offers. And on the other hand, we have a tree. And it goes on to say that her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. It's going to produce something that is lasting. A tree growing up, as the Lord intends. And that's what He wants for you and I. It says that a tree planted by the water, close to a river, whose roots branch out. How many of you have planted a tree? Probably most of you. How do you select where that tree grows? Would you put it next to an alkaline substance? Would you put it up close to a foundation? Or would you select a good spot of earth and plant it where those roots have a chance to branch out and to grow? You know what sin does? Sin cuts off that root. Now, there is a tap root. You cut that and the tree dies. But sin starts out slow. And it cuts one little root, then another, and it continues to build until that tree is stunted. It can only grow so tall. Chances are it will not bear fruit, or not much. Not much. But that's not what the Lord God intends for you and I. The Book of Mormon, Mosiah, the first chapter, it says, if we withdraw from the Spirit of the Lord, there's no blessing. There's no prospering. And there's no preservation. If we withdraw from the Spirit of the Lord. In 2 Peter it says, wherefore, be diligent, found of Him in peace, without spot, and without blame. We build for that day of salvation. We endure to that day of salvation because we believe that there will come a day of resurrection and a day of eternal judgment. We believe that Jesus Christ will come back. We believe that. Do you want to put off preparing for that? Do you want to stunt your growth? Do you want to cut a root? Do you want to be prepared? As we look at the Scriptures, they are full of symptoms and causes. They are full of a sickness and sin. How many of you enjoy reading the Psalms? I do. What do you find in Psalms? Well, you find a king that the Lord consecrated over a whole nation. David. David was a good king. And it says that he was a man after the heart of God. But in the Psalms, and it's probably the reason you enjoy reading them, you see peaks and you see valleys. What marks the valleys? Sin. What marks the peaks? The absence of sin. Psalms 38, verses 1 through 10 say, basically, David's word, there's no soundness in my flesh. I don't have soundness in my flesh. I've looked at my life. I've tried to rid myself of sin. I've sought the Lord's blessing this day. And yet I may suffer with it. But I want to be rid of sin. And David says, there's no soundness in my flesh. I'm feeble. I'm sore. I'm broken. My heart panted. And you that have read the Psalms know that sin entered into David's life. Proverbs 14, chapter verse 30 says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. If you have a pure desire in your heart, there's going to be a good, sound spiritual growth. But if there's envy in there, you're going to suffer not only physically, but spiritually. And I believe that sin, if you allow it to come into your life, can bring about physical illness. I believe that. Now, all of us are exposed to sickness, injury, death. All of us are exposed to that. I'm not saying that just because you suffer, there is sin in your life. But you have to look at your life. You have to measure it. You have to know it. You have to understand and allow the Spirit to point out what is right and what is wrong. And if that Spirit points out a wrong, act upon it. Don't allow rottenness to the bone. Psalms 32, David was on a peak. And he said, confession of sin brings relief and happiness. Relief and happiness. He found that. Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 8 say, find favor and good understanding of not only God, God first and foremost, but not just God, of man. And that brings health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You know, I thought about that. That's kind of peculiar to our day and our way of speaking. It brings health to thy navel. What's the earliest way that you received nourishment in your physical body? It was through the navel, as your mother carried you. And that nourishment was ready to be used at the instant it came into your body. It was prepared of your mother. Well, if you find favor and good understanding with God and man, what comes into your life is prepared of God that you grow. That you grow. And it says, and marrow to thy bones, a strength to who and what you are. Now, there are those that suffer lameness. And I'm not saying that they are a sinful person because they are lame. If they have looked at their life, if they have asked God to enter in and to cleanse, and yet God allows them to remain in that state, but if they have sought a good understanding with God and man, if they have allowed peace to come into their heart, there is yet spiritual growth in what we view as a broken body. Yet spiritual growth. I don't understand why you suffer all the time and why I suffer. But we need to draw close to God to make sure that sin is not a part of our life, not holding us back. Proverbs, the 28th chapter, verse 13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now, what does that mean, to let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom? Each of us understand on a different level. Each of us have strengths of varying degrees. But if we allow the word of Christ to dwell richly in us, where those talents lie, Christ uses. Christ applies as we allow Him. As we allow. The Scriptures are full of symptoms and causes, sickness and sin. I had a telephone conversation last night with a person that I've talked to several times. And 20 years ago, he desired baptism. 20 years ago. And the ministry that he talked with advised him that he was not ready. Not ready. The first time I talked with him, I wondered about that. I wondered about it. But the more I talk with him, I know why. He hadn't changed his life any. He allowed sin in his life 20 years ago and before. He didn't take it out of his life. And those brothers knew it would be a problem. And since that time, that sin has compounded itself. The family that he is a part of, his wife and his children, are split up. At odds one with the other. The children are in foster homes now. They've been taken out of the latest foster home and placed into others because they found abuse in those foster homes. He has compromised sin. He has a broken family. He has broken the laws of his land, and he will answer for that. He's broken the laws of God, too. But yet he comes to me for baptism. But he's still not ready. He needs to put his house back in order. Because the covenant that he enters into with God is a covenant with Jesus Christ, is a covenant that you can't break. You can't go back on. And he needs our prayers. Another person that I was privy to a testimony they had was on forgiveness. Good person. Person that entered into a covenant with Christ, entered in by the right way. To my knowledge, has no sin in her life. But yet she lacked one thing. Something had been done to her early on in her life, and she was unable to forgive. I'm not saying forgive the act or the problem. And it was a gross sin. But she was unable to forgive. Just recently, she was able to say that she forgave. She didn't harbor anger in herself anymore. As far as I know, a good person. Everything headed the right way. And in giving up that one thing, there are possibilities there. Possibilities for continued and steady growth spiritually. Endure to the end. Endure to salvation. We're about out of time. Because there's physical food also. We're entering into a new year. A year that the world, I think, fears a little bit. A year that is coming to the end of a 1,000-year period, a millennium. The world fears that. But I know that each of you find a hope in it if you walk close to God. The world looks at this period of time, looks at this date that is set for itself, and says, I've got to take care of self. I've got to care for me and those that are close to me. I've got to have self. And I pray that each of you and myself look to the need for charity, a pure love of Christ within our hearts and for each other. Not just the body of Christ, but every living soul that is yet to be saved. The world looks at this year and it sees a need to take care of material strength. What's going to happen? What do we do without? How will we go day by day? The world fears that. But yet the Lord God calls us to faith. To exercise our faith, to strengthen that faith. And if we put off preparing, how can we endure? We look back and we recap all our old miracles. But your miracles have not ceased. Angels have not ceased to minister. And the Holy Ghost is still given to those that meet God's requirements. The Spirit is there still to direct each that allows place for it. Let's look forward to tomorrow. But we have to prepare today for that. If we are to endure to the end, to look forward to that hope of eternal salvation, and all the things that we have to put up with, to bear, to continue, to stand against, we have to endure to the very end. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, it tells us about the armor of God, and it's there for you to put on. It's there for you to put on, but don't wait till the last minute. Don't wait till you look to the symptom and not the cause. Look to today and prepare for what lies tomorrow. But don't fear it. Find hope in it. Find a shelter in it. Find a cause to use your talents for God. And in Ephesians 6, it says, after you've done all that, all that it lists, all that I've talked about, we still have to stand. We still have to make a choice. We still have to follow Jesus Christ. For He is the only way. Each of you that have responded to that call that God has placed in your heart and has brought you out of the world to Jesus Christ, have accepted Jesus Christ, you have found a way back into the presence of God. You found that. Those that have entered in by the right way. But those of you that are still listening, still considering, listen closely, because the Lord God, the Almighty Father, draws you out to Christ. Seek for truth. Seek Christ. And once you find Christ, hold on fast and follow Christ and endure to the end.